Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, we continue on. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM570LASports. Rodney, high school sports, you know, they're still hanging in. They're still trying to come back.
Yeah.
And, you know, personally, I think it's futile. But they're still hanging in. And there's a group of people that have met with the governor now because there are a lot of kids that want to play. I mean, to me, it seems odd. All right, let's start our football training camp in March. But there are people that still want to play. Tim Garcia is the head coach out at Ventura High, and he's part of a group that's saying these kids need to come back. They need to start competing for their mental health. And they've met with the governor, and they have formed a group trying to push this forward using data that they've collected saying, it's not going to hurt them. It's actually going to help them. To a degree, he may have a point there, but he is going to come on the show later this hour so we can find out exactly what they're talking about and what steps they're taking to try to get kids back on the athletic fields.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear what he has to say because it's a tough choice. And as you mentioned, you know, sometimes it's almost robbing Peter to pay Paul, as they would say. What's riskier, you know, the chance of getting COVID or the mental health of young kids that are not able to compete or go back to school. And it's a tough choice that everybody's dealing with. It's not an easy one either way.
No, it's not. So we're going to have Tim come on the show later this hour. But now, as we celebrate President's Day, it's a time for us all to come together, Rodney.
Oh, yeah.
We got to do it.
Oh.
You know it's time
for. Oh, I know.
Sure, not everybody's not working today, but everybody needs this clarity. And to provide that sense of clarity and unity, we welcome on Vic the Brick with a President's Day version of the Daily Haiku at 2. And Vic, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Fred. Good afternoon, Rodney Peet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, K-Fig. And on the ones and the twos and the threes and the fours, Roddy Fascio. Happy El Presidente Day, everybody.
Happy El Presidente Day,
si.
Vic.
Si.
Before we get to the haiku.
Yes.
You guys know Taye Diggs, the wonderful actor.
Yes.
So Taye Diggs goes to the Negro Leagues Museum in Kansas City and gets totally enlightened by the rich fabric that was this amazing league that really hasn't gotten much love, obviously, over the years. And Major League Baseball is just starting to tap into this incredible tapestry that was the Negro Leagues. Celebrated, I believe, his 101st anniversary. So Taye Diggs says, wow, man, this is amazing. I can't believe I haven't been aware of this, what went on. So he is going to develop a television series about the Negro Leagues.
Oh, that's great.
Is that fabulous?
Yeah. I think that'll be fascinating.
Think of the stories.
Yeah.
I mean, not just the talent, but the personalities of this league are just overflowing. And these are stories that must be told.
100%.
So Taye Diggs, an epiphany in Kansas City at the Negro Leagues Hall of Fame.
Very nice.
Yes. He's going to get his groove back, Taye Diggs.
Ah.
Nice
Red
one,
didn't
Vic.
Catch,
nice
Red
one.
Didn't catch that one.
I got
not
it.
At all.
I was looking for the button.
Thanks, Dad.
Wonderful actor out of Newark, New Jersey. Taye Diggs. Well, this haiku is, again, from the land of the obscure haiku artists. We haven't heard from Kurohito that much.
I don't think we've ever heard from Kurohito.
Kurohito.
Kevin will look into it.
K-U-R-O-H-I-T-O.
Okay.
Vanna, can you buy me another vowel?
Please.
Thank you so much.
Kevin, you doing some research?
I found nothing.
Okay, so this guy is obscure.
Very obscure.
Yeah. Doesn't get more obscure than a guy you can't find anything on.
Nothing,
low
Kevin,
profile.
Nothing.
Digging a little deeper here. Give me
would
a
you
second.
Say big low profile?
Low profile.
There is a, I don't want to butcher his name, Takehichi no Kurito, who was a Waka poet of the Nara period.
Mm.
Okay.
Is that who is we're his, referring to?
Maybe. Vic?
Is his last name K-U-R-O-H-I-T-O?
That's it, Vic.
It's got to be him.
What else do we know about him, Kevin?
Well, his very, very brief biography says the year of his birth is unknown.
Okay.
The year of his death is unknown.
All right.
He appears to have spent his career as a low-ranking civil servant.
Okay.
Well, he broke out of that and became a haiku artist. There was nothing much for the civil servants back in the day. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. No.
Well, he might have been he might have been a meter guy.
I don't think they had meters, Fred.
You don't know.
Took by the 1600s in Japan. There's no meters.
Come on, Fred.
I was going to say something to get in trouble.
1600s in Japan.
Well, that's like you said the other day. You know, if he was here, I would ask him, but he's dead. For 300 years. You're not right, Vic.
Exactly.
He didn't say it like that. I would ask him if he were here, but he's dead, Fred.
I do represent all the haiku artists from the 1600s. I'm basically, yes. I've taken that responsibility to represent them
yes.
as best I can.
Yes.
But talk about a great weekend. Dodger fans, I'm feeling you. Justin Turner's back. Everyone, just let that just permeate everyone's senses. Oh, yeah.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
This haiku on this Monday, February the 15th.
Love how Vic just blew right by that.
Yeah, Vic didn't even respond.
I'm still cavelling over Justin Turner. I really am. It was so wonderful to get Red Samurai back in the mix.
Yes.
Not that he was ever out of the mix. I mean, it would have taken like some insane deal by Milwaukee to pry him away from Los Angeles, his home, you know, and where he is you know, he's revered.
Yeah, and you know
He's a god among men, let's face it.
Yeah, and you know what he's having now?
Having the time of his life.
With his beautiful bride, Courtney with a K.
Yes.
This was just a sensational weekend. And Austin Barnes. You guys covered that pretty deeply, and I love it. Yeah, the pitchers love throwing to him. You know, I, as a former catcher, back in the Forest Hills Little League.
Vic, your experience...
Wait.
That you're going to comment on?
Yes.
It's when you caught in the Forest Hills Little League?
That's correct.
Okay, let's hear about it, Vic. I'd be curious to hear.
Because catching is eternal, yes. Fred.
It's eternal.
Right, Rodney?
Yes.
It doesn't change. The catcher is the captain of the team.
Well, I was a catcher, Vic. Does that mean nothing has changed since I was a catcher?
Nothing's changed, Fred. You call the shots. You call the shots.
But in Little League, Vic, in Little League, let's face it. I mean, if you're calling the shots, how old were you?
9.
Okay. Vic, not a lot of shots to call, if you really want to break it down. Not a lot of shots. I mean, it's not like you're calling for the curveball.
No, it was fastball, fastball, fastball.
Okay, so you didn't have a lot of decisions to make. It was just try to knock the ball down or catch it.
Well, location.
That's where you put the glove.
Right. How am I framing? I mean, let's face it. Framing is not a new art form. Framing the pitch has been going on for, 100 years.
Vic, yes. When you were 9 years old, you were not framing pitches.
Oh, I was framing, man.
Oh,
they used to call me the Picasso behind the plate.
Let them know, Vic. The Picasso behind the plate.
Because of my framing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
The pitchers like throwing to that big target.
Yeah. Well, how was your arm?
Weak. Relatively weak. I didn't last long in a little.
You're honest. You're honest, Vic.
So what, Vic? Somebody get on first base, they just take off running?
I believe the ball had to pass the plate.
Yes, that's accurate.
Back in the day. Am I right, yes. Freddie? You was a former umpire?
Yes. But when the ball passed the plate, were you able to gun somebody down at second?
Once in a while.
Okay.
Very rare, yeah.
Yeah, it's like when I caught. I'd use the pitcher as the cutoff man.
There you go.
Oh, Lord.
Somebody'd steal. I'd throw the ball to the pitcher, throw it to second real fast.
Oh, no. You got everybody out, didn't you, Fred?
Oh, you know what? When I threw down to second, one game I threw almost hit the umpire in the head. He turned around and looked at me during the game and goes, "What the hell's wrong with you?" But I could block every ball. No ball.
That's what it's about. Hey, that's what it's about, Fred.
How'd you hit, Vic?
I was decent.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of doubles.
Yeah,
a lot of doubles.
A lot of doubles. Not many homers, but a lot of doubles.
Ground rule doubles.
No. You could. You were fleet of foot back then too, Vic. Right? So you stretched those singles into doubles, huh?
I have some speed.
Yeah.
Vic, ever tell you about the home run I hit? One of my
no,
career.
No.
One time.
Right inside the park.
No. You'll remember this place. Hohokam Park in Mesa.
I do.
Yeah. We're playing in the summer at Hohokam Park. Left-hander threw a hanging curve to me. I swung and it felt sweet. And I stood there and I'd never hit a home run. And I watched that ball and I thought to myself, oh my God, that thing is not coming down. It's not stopping. It's going. It's traveling.
Yeah.
So I'm running full speed because I never hit a home run. And I round first, and obviously I wasn't very fast because the ball is still traveling. And right between first and second, I see the ball go over the fence. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I hit it out of a major league park to dead center field, Rodney. And as I turned and looked at that ball and started the only home run trot I knew, because I'd never hit a home run before, I tripped over second base.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
I did. I was so caught up in the moment that as I rounded second, boom. Got up, finished that home run trot.
Of course
you did. Pull
up
those pants!
Yes. Went into the dugout, sat down, and not a single person talked to me.
They gave you the silent treatment?
That was my home run. Yes.
Memorable.
Yeah. Well, I remember.
Epic.
It.
Epic.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's a, when you can recollect that vivid memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of your first home run.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it'll bring you joy the rest of your life.
Yeah. I told you when Andre Ethier's father yelled at me. He was the shortstop on the baseball team. Byron Ethier. Had a plate-to-plate doubleheader, Saturday afternoon, senior year. It's hot. It's 107. We're playing two games. Extra innings, plate-to-plate, bad throw. This is the game where I was also hitting the throat and the cup. Same game. I got hit in the throat catching, then I got hit in the cup.
Oof.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Anyway, now we're in extra innings, second game, plate to plate, here comes the throw. I catch the ball, but it's a bad throw. Guy barrels right into me. Barrels into me. Now understand, I can't really speak because I've been hitting the throat, and I can barely walk because I've been hitting the cup. And there's a collision at the plate, and the guy falls on top of me. Knocks the ball out of my hand, but the umpire can't see it. So as the guy is on top of me, and I see the umpire moving around now to make the call, my hand, I'm moving real fast underneath this guy, trying to grab the ball as fast as I can to show the umpire. Just as I'm about to touch the ball and grab it, the guy rolls off me. And the umpire sees that I've dropped the ball, calls the guy safe. We lose the game in extra innings. Byron Ethier, Andre's father, runs off the field, looks directly into my eyes, and doesn't say, "Man, what a great effort on your part."
And how old are you again at this point?
I was like 17.
Okay.
16, 17 probably. Doesn't say great effort. Man, it's hot. You caught both games. You got beat up. Way to go. That's a tough one. You know what he says? Nice job, Fred. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. I never let him forget that either. Thanks a lot.
What a bang bang play at the plate, though, Fred.
Yeah, but what do you want? You know?
What do you want from Fred?
I got the hell kicked out of me. I was in there. Guy ran me over. It was a bad throw. What do you want from me, Vic?
Hey, you gutted it out, Fred.
Yes. I did. Now the haiku from Konnichiwa.
No, this would be Kurohito, Fred.
Oh, Kurohito, I'm sorry.
Konnichiwa. Come on,
Konnichiwa,
Freddy.
Konnichiwa. Konbanwa. Traveling and lonely, I see beneath a hill a boat painted with red clay rowing to the other side. I'm feeling you. Kurohito.
Solid offering.
So it was deep. It was thick, I should say. It was thick with words.
Yeah, it was thick with words, but the question must be asked. The boat was underneath a hill, correct?
Correct.
Was the boat in water? He never said the boat was in water. He said it was underneath the hill.
Well, he saw beneath a hill. So beneath a hill, there was a there was water, and on that water, of course, was the boat. There could be hills and water, Fred.
And the clay, the red clay?
Painted with red clay, yeah. I found that fascinating.
Yeah. Huh. Kind of like playing at the French Open. On the red
Roland Garros Stadium, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a haiku of hope. You know, obviously, Kurohito was exhausted. He was, you know, just looking for a spark of joy. He was traveling and lonely.
Yeah.
Long road.
Yeah. Well, as a civil servant, it's exhausting work.
Well, those days were behind him. He had already lit out to become a haiku artist. As a haiku artist, you must, travel and pick up experiences and commune with nature. Yeah.
As we came to that conclusion, Fred, not a civil servant as you remember it.
Right. He might have been civilly serving people. Get me a drink. Maybe that was his job. Walking around. Can you get me a towel? Maybe that's what a civil servant
was.
Are
you suggesting that he was a towel boy?
Maybe he was a manservant.
I believe he was probably working the books for some samurai family.
Yeah, that's what he was
working the books.
It's lit. Fire! Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Getting crushed by Jacob and Ronnie. get yourself in trouble, call the best in the business, Jacob Imrani, 844-24-JACOB.
Accident or injury, call Jacob Imrani, call Jacob.
And the big story lighting up the headlines, in case you have not heard, Anthony Davis going to be shut down for a little bit. This coming from Adrian Wojnarowski. He says Davis's MRI revealed a calf strain and a re-aggravation of the right Achilles tendonitis. Once he does return to L.A., they say AD will immediately get another evaluation. It's unlikely that he will return to the lineup prior to the All-Star break, which ends on March 10th.
Well, bad news. I mean, bad news for AD. But for the Lakers, better safe than sorry. Take it easy here. The playoffs really are all that matters anyway. If they don't have him, they're done. They'll make the playoffs, but it's over. So there's no rush. Just take your time. Because, Rodney, you pointed this out, Kevin, as did you, when this news broke at about 150. We know what a calf problem can lead to with the Achilles. All you have to do, Rodney, is ask Kevin Durant.
Yeah. And we know, too, that the Lakers looked at this and go, okay, we're going to shut regardless of what comes back, we're going to shut you down. Because don't you think if they were, you know, trying to rush him back, get him back, that he would have been on the first thing smoking back to L.A. and not on the plane, team plane, going to the next city? So I think in their minds, okay, we tried that. Now it is shutdown time, and they're okay with it.
Yeah, the good news, obviously, you know, we heard earlier from Billy Orem, that is the silver lining, that he is with the team in Minneapolis, and it was not a tear of the tissue. And basically, it's a re-aggravation. You know, it's a horrible, horrible thing. And Rodney, you know that Achilles is so tender.
Yes.
But I believe the psyche of Anthony had a lot to do with this, because remember, a lot of people portrayed him as soft, and last year he really played through a lot of injuries, and he was hard, man. And I think he just wanted to continue the reputation of, you know, I may be hurt, but I'm going to play through it, which is dumb when it comes to this Achilles. We'll let it go. But I think he probably still hears, you know, that criticism that he's soft. He's not soft. He played through everything last year and was amazing last year. And offensively, his numbers have been down this year. But defensively, he's been spectacular this year with the Lakers. But maybe he was trying to play through. I think he was playing through it a little bit, even though when he scored 35 on Friday, I believe, in the victory.
He did.
And then he felt good. And then he tried to come back Sunday, and that was a mistake. Because obviously, early second quarter, he's out. But my advice to Anthony is, you know, who cares what people say, man? You take care of your Achilles. You take care of your body. Your body is a freaking temple.
Clippers dealing with some injuries as well. They take on Miami tonight. Pregame at 6 o'clock here on AM 570 LA Sports. Kawhi Leonard not going to play. He has a left leg contusion. Paul George has been out for the last five games, I believe, at this point. And Pat Beverly is going to be a healthy scratch. He's resting tonight as they take on Miami. So, the Clippers dealing with some injury management themselves, Fred.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, Kawhi, if he has the contusion, fine. Pat Beverly has been hurt. Okay. And we know Paul George. Again, their focus should be now what the Lakers' focus is. Be healthy when the tournament starts. So, yep. There are no fans. I have no problem with it, Rodney.
I don't either. However, you know, are we going to say that they don't have chemistry issues if they're not all playing together, kind of like they had last year? That was the argument, although last year a lot of it, well, it wasn't much. Just Paul George was hurt last year. Well, so is that going to be a factor with the Clippers is chemistry?
It better not be.
They can't point to that, right?
No, they've already played that card.
Yeah.
I love it that Lou Williams is finally heating up. He's getting some minutes, you know, with PG-13, you know, out with the toe. And now, you know, Kawhi's out with a leg injury. So Sweet Lou is stepping up, and I dig that about him. It's good to see Lou Williams go back to his offensive maestro flavor. But let's face it, fellas, it's all about Utah, Clippers, Lakers. 1, 2, 3 in the seedings. That's it. I mean, we're only 28, 29 games in, but that's what it's about. And really, who cares? There is no home court advantage anymore. You're playing for what? You're going to be 1, 2, or 3. For the Lakers, you know, they'd rather not face Utah and the Clippers in one series. I'll make, you know, make it much tougher to repeat, you know, to repeat. But still, rest everybody. When is LeBron going to chill? I mean, it's insane what LeBron is doing. I'm just, it blows my mind, the transcendent one. Or the transcendental one. The transcendent one. He just blows my mind.
All of those.
Yeah, every one of them.
Yeah.
And some tough news coming out of the NFL. Former Charger receiver ended with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Vincent Jackson was found dead in his hotel room earlier today. Only 38 years old. He had been living in the hotel since January 11th. It's unclear why he was living there at the time. Apparently, his family filed a missing persons report regarding him on the 11th, so last week. He was located on the 12th. He spoke with the police officers. They said after assessing his well-being, the missing persons report was canceled. But obviously, a few days later, found dead in his hotel room. So a tragic story there, Fred.
Indeed. So young. And Charger fans obviously will remember Vincent Jackson.
Very good player. One of their best targets for Phillip Rivers for many years.
Yeah. That's a tough one, Rodney.
Yeah, it is. It is. I heard about that story while we're on the air. Popped up on my screen. But yeah, sad. 38 years old. Man. And we won't know, you know, all the exact, I guess, details until later. But you just feel for him, his family. Who knows what he was going through, and don't want to speculate, you know,
no
hotel or anything like that until we find out the facts. But sad,
horrific story. He was very talented receiver. He was the Mike Williams,
yep,
of his generation. You know, long, strong. Prayers go out to the Jackson family.
No doubt. And that's what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
Ropes.
Well, some people refuse to give up. And if you have a high school student or you know one, friend or family, neighbor, they want to compete. And a group of coaches here in the state of California is going to the governor to try to make that happen. And we'll talk to one of them next.
Let us give you money. Your chance to win $1,000 is right now. Yeah. Text the nationwide keyword green to 200-200. You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. Once again, that's green to 200-200. Good luck.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And I'm so tired. Yeah, all I need is good vibes.
Yeah, Rodney P. Fred Rogan.
Yep.
On a President's Day, Freddie. Let's go.
Do it. High school athletes want to get back on the field. Look, if you're a parent or a family member or a friend, you know. It's been difficult on you, and it's been really difficult on them. And a group of coaches here in Southern California are trying to make it happen. Let's welcome on Tim Garcia. He's the head football coach at Ventura High. And Tim, thanks for jumping on.
Thanks for having me, Fred and Rodney. I really appreciate it.
Okay. So you are one of the folks that is an advocate for the Let Them Play California movement. And what you're trying to do is put pressure on the state to allow youth sports to continue, right?
That is correct. There's actually two phases of this, and I happen to fall under both of them. There is the movement by the parent group, the Let Them Play California. That's about 60,000 strong right now. I'm a parent as well. I have a seventh grader and a ninth grader. And so I'm part of that group, but I'm also part of the Golden State High School football coaches community, which is about 700 strong, where the high school coaches are advocating for getting our youth back to playing sports. And that kind of ties me into my title as the head football coach at Ventura High School.
Yeah, that's quite a group, and I understand from both the coaches and the parents. Tim, tell us where we are. I know this is obviously a fluid situation, not only for sports, but for the country and everybody involved. Where are we in terms of what the latest you've heard? Any timelines that we should know about? What's the latest?
Well, first I want to acknowledge Coach Walsh from Sarah San Mateo and Coach Gladnick from Torrey Pines. They have been in the forefront, leading the negotiations with the at the state level. They're the ones that started this movement from the San Diego area, and it's kind of carried its way all the way up into the state capitol. They've had the chance to be able to meet with Jim DeBoo, which is the chief of staff for Governor Newsom. They've had the chance to meet with Dr. Galley, the Secretary of California Department of Public Health, and have been in negotiations with them on a couple of different meetings, trying to advocate to get our kids to be able to get on the field. In doing so, they've been able to supply data that's come from the other states, the 47 other states that have been able to play up to this point, and also more current data. Obviously, we all know that this virus is evolving, and new data is always coming out. We're finding out new information on it. And so they've just been supplying the state with all the updated data, trying to get our kids to be able to be on the field and also to have a voice. And us as coaches, we're trying to be a voice for our kids.
Tim Garcia with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. Okay, Tim, how frustrating is it? You talk about the folks that are meeting with the governor's chief of staff, talking about the latest data. And you look around the country, and some states have already completed their football seasons. Some states have already completed the entire season, and here you sit still waiting. How frustrating is that?
You know, it's very frustrating because we, I understand the first go around. I understand that when this virus hit, there were a lot of unknowns. And so I understand that first go around in the decision making. But when you have other states that have moved forward, let's not forget who kicked off this season this year. It was high school football being televised first. Then it went to the college level being televised. And now those programs have, those states have been able to continue on into their winter and spring sports. We've got basketball being played indoors. We've got volleyball being played. Those other states are continuing on. And now we've got the state of California that has not even really come up with a solid plan to get our kids back on the fields, courts, swimming pools, whatever it may be. And so speaking from a parent, very frustrating because I know how important sports are to my kids and their development. And also as a head football coach, knowing that I've got 140 kids in my program that are looking to me every day for guidance and for stability and for structure and some form of normalcy. And so when I see it in their eyes and I see the hurt and the pain of what they're going through during this time, it's frustrating knowing that there is data out there that supports what we are trying to do with getting our kids back. But for some reason, people seem to be fighting that data right now, and that's a frustrating part for us.
Yeah, no, it's very frustrating. I can imagine, seeing other states competing and doing their thing, where we're sitting here, trying to figure it all out. But when you look at these other states, they also had their share of problems. And you mentioned college football and pro sports. I mean, look, even with the Pac-12 and the Pac-12 championship, the second place team had to play because the first place team came down with COVID and Washington couldn't play USC and it had to be Oregon. So and same thing with the NFL, there's missed games and players and things of that nature. At this point, you mentioned that we've got a lot more data. This is a fluid situation. At this point, do you feel that getting the kids back on the field and playing outweighs the risk factors at this point.
There's no doubt about that. When we're dealing with the mental health and the problems that our kids are coming into from this pandemic, getting them on the field is the safest place for them to be, for their mental and physical well-being, because, you know, as they're finding out that the transmission is happening more so in the community, and you know, even the NFHS backed, you know, our findings with and the data from the other states, and that is that transmission between competition is very rare, and so we are, you know, I understand that colleges have had issues. I understand that the other states have had issues. However, that's why you have guidelines in place. And if you adhere to the guidelines, you know, when we would get news of a school that, you know, that had to cancel that week's game because of a COVID exposure or something like that, all that means is that the guidelines were working. You know, so, you know, that's a positive thing. That necessarily doesn't have to be a negative. You know, it just means that the guidelines are working, that are in place to protect our kids and to still be able to give them the advantage of being able to go out and get their physical activity and be able to compete for their emotional well-being. You know, I have seniors that, you know, are very heartbroken, you know, at this point in time. And, you know, I had one senior that mentioned to me the other day, he said, you know, coach, he said, I'm a senior now, and I feel like I got 2 years of high school. He said, between the Thomas fire and the mudslides,
yeah,
and now COVID, I got 2 years of high school. And he said, I feel like our senior class really got hit hard from this. And I get that. I get that, you know, but I do know that as adults, you know, we can say that we understand, or that, you know, we you know, can feel for our kids. But I don't think we really can, because I don't think we as adults, and I know as coaches, we get pretty close to our kids. But I still don't think that we really get the full grasp of what they are going through, you know. So here we are fighting for them, you know, and I think that as football coaches, you know, don't get me wrong, we know this virus is real. We don't disregard it. We have a full, you know, amount of respect for COVID, but we also know what the data is showing, and that is that the kids are not the super spreaders. In fact, being on their sports fields are really more their safety zone than being out in the community and being exposed that way. You know, the data even shows that there's, you know, kids that don't play sports opposed to the kids that do play sports are they have a higher percentage of getting COVID than the kids that are playing sports. So, you know, we as coaches are not advocating just to get our kids on the field. We're advocating because we feel that from the data that it's safe to do so. And the sooner we can do this and streamline athletics and getting kids on the field, I think that movement is also going to help the movement of getting our kids back in the classrooms. You know, or what better way of doing it than to have your student athletes be able to participate in sports and be those leaders that we're always looking for with our student athletes, and then transfer that into the classroom when now you get other kids on campus as a mix. You know, it just, those kids now can be leaders for the other ones that are coming onto our campuses, which, you know, I think is a very positive, very positive direction.
Tim Garcia with us, Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. Here's the danger, Tim. And, you know, I'm currently living it. Rodney's living it. I mean, his son's a basketball player at Sierra Canyon, can't play. My son plays Division III college basketball, can't play. And I had this conversation with my son recently. And here's the concern I have. I think it's going to be a wash. I think when it's all said and done, nobody fires this thing up again to the fall. I hate to say that. I'm living it in my own way. And I really think that's what's going to happen. Because no one honestly seems to know what to do. And that's been the problem all along. Nobody knows what to do. So you just do anything. Stop. Everybody stop. Data, no data. And I think it's scary. I hate to say that, but I really think that's what's going to happen. Do you think that's a possibility?
Well, I think that anything's a possibility when you take the easy way out, you know. And I think that it's easy to say that nobody knows what to do, but I think that's the easy way out. I think that other states have proven that they can do this. Other organizations have proven that they can do this. And so I think that the right thing to do is to get as much data as we can, which we've been doing, and then put our data out there. And then I think it's up to the people in charge, right, to go off of that data, which is evolving, which is evolving even more so into supporting youth sports being back on the fields, and make the decision that is a hard one. And I get that. I get that it's a hard decision, but I do think that our kids deserve more than just taking the easy road. These kids need the adults to step up and support them. They have been on the sidelines for 11 months now without a voice. It seems like everything in our society, everything in our communities trickles down to our kids, and there has been no relief for our kids whatsoever. You know, and I'm talking band, I'm talking robotics, I'm talking cheerleading, I'm talking the whole spectrum of things for our youth sports or for our youth that they're just the ones getting hammered. You know, their parents lose their job, the kids get hammered, right? Numbers go up in the community, the kids get hammered. I mean, everything is trickling down to our kids, and it's about time that we stand up and make the right calls to get our kids moving forward. Because if we don't start making the hard decisions, then we're never going to learn how to navigate through this pandemic. We're never going to learn how to get through this. And that's no disrespect to people that have lost loved ones. I've got one of my coaches that lost his sister to COVID. I've got an aunt that lost her life to COVID. I got high regard for the virus, but at the same time, when the data is proving that our kids can do this safely, we need to act on it. We need to act on it because we can spin our wheels for another full year on this if we want to take the easy road. But it's time that as adults we dig into this and we come up with the best solution to get our kids going immediately.
All right. Well, Tim, we appreciate you coming on. Good luck. It's been tough for everybody, especially the kids. Trust me, as I said, Rodney knows, and so do I. And hopefully one way or the other, this gets resolved soon. Tim Garcia, head football coach at Ventura High, thanks for coming on.
Appreciate it, you guys. Thanks for having me.
Again, thanks to Tim for joining the show. We're back to wrap it up after this.
Hogan and Rodney.
Rodney Peace.
An athlete.
Rodney Peace.
A father.
Rodney Peace.
An LA icon.
Rodney Peace.
And this guy.
Fred Rogan. AM 570, LA Sports.
Hey, don't forget the Clippers back in action tonight. They take on the Heat at Staples Center. Our coverage begins with Clipper Countdown at 6. Tip-off scheduled for 7 p.m. right here on your home for the Clippers. AM 570, LA Sports. Ronnie, Kevin, great job. Thank you for working President's Day. Rodney, we'll get him tomorrow.
Shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark. Hard part about it, brother got smoked by a fiend. Trying to floss on him, blind to a broken man's dreams. A hard lesson, court cases keep him guessing. Plea bargain ain't an option now, so I'm stressing. Cost me more to be free than a life in the bin. Making money off of cuss words, writing again. Learn how to think ahead, so I fight with my pen. Late night, down sunset, like in the scene. What's the worst they could do to a player? Got me lost in hell. To live and die in LA on bail. My people say,
die in LA, the place to be.
To live and die in LA.